for the message. Lord, we come to you today and we ask that you would minister to us by your word and teach us to use the grace that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk to you about the grace of giving, and I want you to notice that I didn't say I wanted to talk to you about giving. I want to talk to you about the grace of giving. There is a difference. There are two kinds of giving that are possible by followers of Jesus. One is the giving that we do like a well, such as a well on a farm. The other is giving that we do like a river. The difference between a well and a river is that you have to go to a well and let down a bucket to get anything out of it. It is also water that is standing still. A river, on the other hand, is moving water, and all that is needed to receive from a river is to reach down and take it. Followers of Jesus give themselves either like a well or like a river. So when it comes to the grace of giving, it shows itself in two basic ways. There is the grace of giving that is like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is like a well, and it has to do be asked to give. And there is the grace of giving that is like the flow of living waters in a river, which is like an overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to the grace of giving, we're either like a well or a river. Which type of giving do you produce? Do you respond as you are asked, like a well, or do you freely flow in your giving like a river? Now, there is, of course, another condition. But it isn't really a state of grace. Some people are like a dry well or a dry riverbed because they never give themselves to anyone or anything. So what I just said shows you about types of giving and defines its boundaries. Now, today, I want to talk to you about the grace of giving. And I want you to notice, I want to talk to you about grace and giving. The grace of giving is much more than giving money to the church. The grace of giving has to do with how you live your life. Now, this grace seems to express itself most profoundly in how we handle cash, but because that's where we live, money represents life. Most of us probably consider this unfortunate, but it's true nonetheless. This is not a message about giving money to the church, though that may be a natural part of our giving. I want us to learn the grace of giving, so that grace can begin to work in us and through us, so we become more like a river with our lives than a well. The Lord God wants us to abound in the grace of giving. Now, God's ways are backwards to our way of thinking. We have this idea that God is the one that is out of step, but in reality, it is we who are out of step. In the beginning, there was a time when we were in step with God, but we turned and we went in another direction. And the essence of the term repentance means to change direction, our way of thinking or our attitudes. Repentance means to turn around and go the other way. Humanity at one point repented from God's ways and went his own way, you might say. And ever since, God has been calling us to repent and turn back to him. There is a repentance in the area of giving as well as the other areas of our lives that needs to take place in each of us so that God's grace can begin to abound through us. The greatest difficulty that we have is in the area of practical things. For example, worship is not inherent in us. We learn to worship. Worship of God is not in our hearts. We come to learn to respond and worship God by the work of the Holy Spirit in us and the development of a relationship. We come to a point where we can say, I worship God now, but there was a time when I didn't. I have learned the blessings of worship and the grace of worship because it has to do with relationship. The same is true as forgiveness. The world says that the cross is foolishness. And there was a time when I said that the cross was foolishness. But I have found forgiveness in the cross of Jesus, and I have come to receive the grace of forgiveness, and I have been released from guilt and condemnation. The grace of forgiveness in the cross is backward to the world's method and thinking. But I have found that it works, and I hope you've learned that grace as well. The grace of forgiveness, as well as the grace of worship, has to be received and understood before it can begin to abound through us or from us. But many of us have learned that truth. When it comes to the very tangible, nitty-gritty things of life, like money, somehow we are persuaded very slowly. It has to do with fear, mostly. We're afraid we won't have enough. We scramble, we scrape, we do everything we can to make sure that we have enough, but few of us ever have enough. We never have enough. So there's always the concern whether we will make it or not. And it's out of that context of world thinking and human emotion that the Lord wishes to teach us the grace of giving. The scripture for today is very short and sweet. It's from the Apostle Paul, and he is raising up the grace of giving for the work of the church. He's asking for gifts to the church. But in this scripture, we are most profoundly the grace of giving. Paul was not just talking about giving money to the church. He was talking about the grace of giving. Read with me 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Now let me say it again. I'm talking about the grace of giving. I'm not talking solely about giving. If you look at this verse, it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a definition of grace that is a little bit different from what we normally hear. Normally, grace is defined as a free, unmerited gift. It is a gift we don't deserve and we couldn't earn. It is freely given to us. But let me put a little bit more punch in this word grace. Grace is God's love, which is the operational power of God moving in this world. Grace is the moving force of God. In other words, grace is the moving force that gives us life through Jesus. Grace is the driving force that forgives our sin. Grace is the driving force that pushes us to continue to grow as His people. Grace is the driving force that not only shows us the right direction, but then moves us in the right direction as well. Grace is a driving force that fills us to overflowing with His Spirit and causes light to flow out of us. Grace is a driving force that God loves us before we even know Him. It's a driving force that gives us the ability to make that leap of faith at some point and respond to the saving power and life force of Jesus on the cross. Grace is the love of God moving in power. As we receive that grace, God calls us to begin to exercise that same power that flows through us towards the world. Grace moves through us. In other words, we become agents of grace. For example, some of us may have been living under condemnation earlier in our lives, but when we came to know Jesus, in other words, received that driving force of God's forgiveness through His love, we were forgiven. And now we are no longer held in bondage in that condemnation. It takes receiving God's grace and learning the truth of how God's grace works in our lives before we begin to flow with that grace and give that forgiveness to others. But it's something that we receive first. And then we learn to grow in it. The same is true for us in terms of our mental and emotional life and how God, through His saving grace, God's operational power, the driving force of God's grace, of his love moving in our lives, that there was a healing that was worked in us in some form or fashion. And this driving force of God, which we call grace, is something that we receive and which works growth and development in us. And that is a process as well. We don't get there all at once. It takes God's action in our lives. It takes struggle, sometimes pain. It is God's grace, the driving force of God's love in our lives, that causes us to grow as his people. This has to do with our giving as well. There is a grace of giving at work in us. It's the driving force, the real driving force behind our giving. And the Lord wants to teach us how to use our lives, our resources, our money more abundantly. If we were to take a look at our congregation, we would find that we are a very diverse group of people in terms of station in life, financial resources, ages, and spiritual growth and development. Covers the gamut. Since I've been here, there's always someone who I would classify as having very little money to draw on. There's always been someone who has great resources in this congregation. Today is no different. There are those within our congregation right now who are based in their living. That is, they barely have enough to get by on, and they need the help of other people at times. Sometimes hard times hit. People lose their jobs. And at that same time, someone else may be in the process of getting a promotion at work or a windfall of some kind. This is true today. 10 years ago it was true. Probably 10 years from now it'll be true. When we are without, that is a base, there is a grace of giving that needs to be learned and the correct use of money in that situation. When we are abounding in money, we have to learn the grace of giving, and we also may need to learn how to use money as well when we have a lot. Now, I'm a firm believer that stewardship and proper use of money and the grace of giving needs to be taught. And that's why I taught my kids through the allowances that they gave, that they would get, and the money that they would earn, that there's a right use of it, and there's also a grace of giving that goes along with its use. The Apostle Paul says at one point that he learned that whether he had a little or a lot, he had learned to be content in either. In other words, whether he was abased or abounding, he was centered in God's grace. And there's something that the Lord would teach us as well, but I suspect that you're like me, and I would rather learn to be content abounding than abased. I know there's an underlying problem in all of us. We have a tendency to isolate material matters of giving from true spirituality when it comes to the grace of giving. It is in our use of money and possessions where the problem really makes itself known. Our problem is that we really don't see giving money as a grace. It is a material duty. It's a financial obligation. It's something that we do because we say we believe in the principle of the tithe, or it's something that ought to be done. But in terms of really recognizing it as grace, the driving force of God that flows out of us, we just don't think like that. The truth is that our giving is actually a driving force. It is grace in action. It's a power. We either do it to please ourselves or we do it to please God. It's either the flow of God's grace out of it, of us, or it is a human driving force and power which says that I give, that if I give, then I should receive the credit. We either see all that we have as a gift from God and something that we are stewards over, or we see it as ours and what we give has our own human strings attached to it. What the Lord wishes to teach us is to abound with his grace, but our abounding is usually based upon the world's standards and the world's way of thinking. Let me tell you how the world thinks. And because of that, probably how you think and I think most of the time, even if we're growing in the grace of God. Our idea of abounding has to do with getting or acquisition. We think of abundance as how much we have or how much we can pile up. But that is not God's definition of abounding. The Lord's definition of abounding is how much can flow through us. If you were trying to get water out of a well and you let your bucket down, but all you got was mud, even though Lake Erie might be down under that well, if it was all clogged up, you wouldn't say that that well abounded in water. If you were to drill an oil well and you hit a gusher, then you would say that that well abounded in oil. But if you hit oil that was all locked up in shale, even if it had hundreds of millions of barrels of oil in it, you would not say that it abounded in oil. Is abundance based on how much is in the ground or how much will flow out of it? You see, abundance thinking is one of the most difficult graces to learn because we have been taught that the way we abound is by getting. How much I have, how much I set by, how much is reserved, how much is available in this storehouse, how much is provided for my retirement, how much is provided for the education of the children, how much is in the savings account, etc., etc., etc. Now, someone is asking, well, what's wrong with those kinds of things, Jack? Nothing. Having investments and savings is not evil or sinful. What may be sinful or evil, though, is how we think about those things. You know, in the Christmas story about Scrooge, he was a rich man. He had an abundance of wealth, but he was not abounding in his thinking or his giving. One thing I know for sure, God searches the hearts of each of us. He did not look on the outward appearance. He searches our motivations. How do you think about what you have? You know, are you motivated by fear? Because that's a real one out there. Fear of the future. Fear of not having enough. Are you motivated by greed or selfishness? You see, the Lord looks on our hearts. He always has. The Lord wants to teach us abundant thinking and how to abound in the grace of giving. Money is the expression of life. We are stewards of life. In the story of the stewards of the parable of the talents, which is about money that was given to guys, one guy buried it. And there's one graphic principle that comes forward in terms of money at that point. You don't bury it. The Lord will not bless that at all. I'll put this in graphic terms so nobody misses the point. Money is like manure. You pile it up in one place, it stinks to high heaven. But if you spread it around, it makes things grow. If you get that point, Jesus taught, he said, you better not hide it. He said, don't hide it. He taught the principle of giving, keep it moving, keep it working. Money in our society is a driving force of life. Grace in this world is the driving force of God. Money is the driving force of our natural lives, and grace is the driving force in terms of our spiritual lives. But God is God of both of our worlds, natural and physical. And spiritual lives. Our spiritual life, our natural life are all tied up together. And the truth is we either let our spiritual nature be the driving force in our lives or we let our natural life be the driving force in our lives. And God calls us to grow in grace, and the grace of giving is a doorway through which the power of God abounds through us. And each of us gets to decide if we're going to grow in God's grace. We can receive as little as we wish, or we can receive as much as the Lord will give us. We can just have enough grace to receive salvation and go to heaven if we want, and a lot of people do just that. All they want is to get it. And they don't want to be bugged about being a disciple, about growing, about learning, about giving, about loving people, about forgiving people. They don't want that kind of stuff. Are they going to lose their souls and go to hell? No, that's not the way it works. God has a lot of children who are indeed his, but they refuse to grow. In fact, all of us can probably say that we have lived in that place at times, or some of us are there right now in some area of our spiritual life. This is really a matter of just saying no to growing. We can talk about growing in the faith, but there are some of us here today that don't even pick up a Bible. Not even in church when you're asked to read along in the scriptures. There are some of us who are illiterate as far as the Bible is concerned. And we know that study is one area of our spiritual life that God wants to shed his grace on us. There are some of us who talk about growing in our relationship with God or learning God's ways, but we're irregular in our worship or meditation or our prayer life or our devotional time. We have not learned the grace of growth in worship and relationship with God. There are some of us who want God's forgiveness, but we refuse to forgive others their sins against us. There are some of us who talk about what we are called to do, but we just tell old war stories because we haven't seen any Christian action in quite some time. And then there's the area of our finances. Some of us need to let God work the grace of giving in our lives. There's a difference between the duty of giving and the grace of giving. It's the difference between a well and a river. Learning to abound in grace, the grace of abundance, really will never be learned correctly until we get this whole matter of giving money out of the natural world where we have isolated it a lot of times and learned the truth that is really a spiritual action and it's a spiritual grace. Giving materially is the grace of God working through us in order to advance and establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The grace of giving is a spiritual principle and grace. It's not just a practice or a duty that we do. It is a driving force of God working through us in love. Learning abundance is grace. Jesus speaks of it in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I don't have it printed, but let me read it to you. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, it will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The grace of giving has to do with overflow. May we all receive that grace. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of our lives, teach us about your grace and it being a driving force in so many areas of our lives. As your people, in Jesus' name, amen.